special edition of Colt Schnero Chat on this Thursday afternoon. I'm Jeremy, joined by Robbie. We're going to be answering some of your Twitter questions that were submitted on Tuesday. We want to thank you all again for submitting these queries. We've got some fascinating ones to dive into today, don't we?
Yeah, I saw them on Twitter, and thanks for them. And we'll get stuck into them here.
And our goal is to get through as many as we can in the next half an hour. So let's crack those knuckles and get started. Where do we want to go first, Robbie?
I don't mind. What do we have? We've got transfers, tactics. Which I don't mind. What do you think?
Yeah, let's just pick one and get started. From at DS Atletico for life. Should Atletico sign Griezmann on a permanent deal following his loan from Barca?
I'm gonna preface this talk about transfers by saying that I think any transfer talk we have is kind of relies on whether or not Diego Simeone is going to be in charge of the club next season.
Sure.
And I think that if he is to stay on, I would say yes, keep Griezmann, because I think Simeone is probably is the kind of manager who could get get the most out of Antoine Griezmann. When we look back on his career, assuming he doesn't just like completely tear it up somewhere in for the next 3 or 4 years, Diego Simeone will be the manager who got the absolute most out of him and turned him into one of the best players in the world, because since when he left to go to Barcelona, he couldn't shine. And I understand that was the situation at Barcelona, and wasn't a very smart move from him. But if Simeone stays on, I'd keep him definitely. And depending on the financials of the deal too, like I don't know what exactly they are, and what his wages currently are and who's paying them, and whether or not he'd be willing to take a pay cut, which it would all depend on that. But yeah, if Simeone stays, I probably would, depending on the financials of the deal. But if not, I think maybe, and I would hope that Atletico are thinking maybe a more kind of proactive manager, so maybe Griezmann wouldn't fit into that. But if Simeone stays, I'd say yes. What do you think?
I think it's a pretty interesting question, and I think it's a pretty interesting, it could be a reference point on Atletico's transfer strategy this summer and in the coming seasons, because Griezmann was an express petition of Simeone, right? He was a guy that Atletico capitalized on the instability at Barca last summer and brought him back on deadline day. And I wouldn't say it's been a smashing success. Griezmann's been injured. He's taken a lot of time to readapt to his surroundings. And I would say he's probably been Atletico's third best forward this year out of the five on hand. So it's a tough one, because I'm not sure how well he's going to age. And I had these concerns when he left for Barca. He's finishing up his peak at Barcelona. He's about to turn 31. He'll be 32 next year when the loan deal is set to expire and that option to buy becomes an obligation. I don't think I would trigger it, because it's 40 million euros that I think could be spent better elsewhere, perhaps on a younger forward, perhaps on midfield or defensive help. I don't think I would spend that 40 million to make that a permanent deal next year, because the option to buy becomes an obligation if Griezmann plays half the games next season. So Atletico will have to make a decision on that this summer, is my guess. And I don't think I'd execute the buy option.
That's fair enough, completely fair. And what do you mean by the option turns into an obligation?
Yeah, it was really, really weird how Barca and Atletico both framed it. Atletico are paying all of Griezmann's wages. Barca made that clear. They're paying 100% of his wages, and Griezmann took a pay cut to come back. For now, it's officially, Ruben Uria reported this, it's officially an option to buy. It turns into an obligation if Griezmann plays half of Atletico's games in the 22-23 season. So it's a really kind of janky formula, but that's what's been reported.
Okay. Yeah, well, I guess, like, it's kind of, I think this raises an even more interesting question, or not a kind of a topic that I like to think about, is the scouting or data scouting for the player's right fit at a club. So obviously players will be enticed by money, which is fair enough. But like, if Antoine Griezmann wants to get back to his best, and if that hunger remains there, and if he does see himself with maybe 2 or 3 years left at the very top, and he wants to win a couple more trophies, assuming that is the case, he'll probably want to, or he should maybe think about, like, he went to Barcelona, and it's kind of silly to say he ruined his career, or he wasted 2 years or whatever.
Yeah, that's overstating it for sure.
Yeah, like, he was getting paid millions of euros and things well, like that.
That helps.
But what was the plan? And I know Atletico sold him because they knew he wanted to leave and Griezmann wanted to go. But like, you know, and I understand that sometimes when you on Twitter and when we discuss these things, we're saying, oh, it's where is he going to fit, and the manager has a plan that we don't know yet. But when we said how's Griezmann going to play with Messi, it actually turned out to be the case. So obviously, yeah, there's really smart people doing data analysis that will be able to say to Griezmann, unless you've been told where you're going to play, we don't think this is a good move for you. Like, I think it was Kevin De Bruyne who signed his contract with City based off data from Analytics FC, I think it was. And I'm just thinking, like, unless Griezmann has a plan, and unless Atletico have a plan for him, I think no amount of money would make sense.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whereas if they have a plan, that 40 million might be the best 40 million you're ever going to spend. But if you don't have a plan, so asking us that question, I'd love to see Griezmann playing for Atletico and playing well and scoring goals and kind of reliving those when he was amazing 5 years ago. But I also think that unless he has a kind of a fixed role and there's a plan for him to excel, I think it's kind of pointless. And I think that it opens up, asking us that question opens up a wider discussion as to players' fit, as to plans for players. And I think, I think Spain, I think Spain has been a little bit slow to adopt the data analysis, and I think that some of the signings speak to that in terms of, oh yeah, he's a shiny, good, nice player, sign him because we can, rather than,
but how does he fit?
Too many teams are asking can they, when they are should be asking should they.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. That's a catchy way to put it, Robbie. And I think aging curves as well are very tricky to kind of get a grip on, because last night in the Champions League, we saw a very old-looking Lionel Messi and a very young-looking Karim Benzema, and they're both in their mid-30s. So you never know with player profiles, and you never know how well these guys take care of themselves, how well their bodies naturally respond to getting older. Griezmann has a lot of miles on his odometer, and he's 30 going on 31, going on 32 next year, and that's a tricky age. It's tricky to kind of get a grip on how well he's going to perform. It's tough to project with some players how well they're going to perform at 33, 34, 35. So you just don't know.
And also it's a willingness, and I don't think there's Antoine Griezmann, if there's anything you can say about the man, is that he has always lived up to his defensive responsibilities and So there is, when you talk about Messi, I think that was the wrong environment for him to go into in terms of being asked to, and maybe that's why he chose PSG, because he thought he was going to get a free ride. But free rides result in what we saw last night at the Santiago Bernabeu, and PSG just completely collapsed. But yeah, that's a discussion for another podcast. But yeah, I think Griezmann is willing to run, and again, it's just a matter of obviously they'd have all the information on his physical aspects and dash that side of things, but yeah, his willingness to do it, it would be I think we can say for sure that he is willing to run at least.
Mm-hmm. I gotta ask you, speaking about Real Madrid, what was the deal with that chair last night that David Alaba was holding up? What was the deal with that?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Like, usually players are, most players kind of, it was like he literally just, or not literally, it was like he just completely lost the plot. Like, he just found something, picked it up, and was like, harmless and everything, but just kind of like,
any other meaning behind it beyond just, I need something to pick up right now.
No, but what's weird was, I did see it at the time it happened, but I saw a picture today, Eder Militao had a chair, and I was like, did he pick another one up, or did Alaba give him the chair?
Like it's a trophy.
Yeah, like, where was it, like a metaphor for something, a white chair, I don't know, like David Alaba announcing his candidacy for chairman of, well, I don't know. that was a silly joke there.
Very, very strange. That entire game was so strange. Yet another collapse from PSG. Oh. Who's really surprised at that?
Oh, my God.
Madon.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, just disgraceful. A particularly pertinent comment from @JezzaPenguin, given the events at Chelsea Football Club today. As much as Saul is his own worst enemy in his head, especially with some of his decision-making off the field, I feel like if there was ever a time to let him come back, this summer is it. Hector Herrera is leaving, Jeffrey Kondogbia needs a backup or competition, and Manu Sanchez could return to play left-back. So, Robbie, do you think Saul Niguez is going to be a good fit on next year's team? Does he deserve another shot? Should he come back?
Yeah, like saying that he's his own worst enemy in his head, I do understand that he admitted that he was kind of suffering a little bit for a while two seasons ago, but it's kind of funny how we look at players and we assume that what has happened is going to continue happening, and I think that when you look back on a player's career or like playing at the very top for so long is probably the exception rather than the rule. Like, we look at, and this is kind of what makes Lionel Messi so good. He was so unbelievably good for so long, and it's so hard to do that. Like, you look at players like Diego Costa and I don't know, like Felipe Luis and things like that. I don't know why I said Felipe Luis, but players kind of like that. Who had like amazing spells? Maybe not Felipe Luis.
Juan Fran,
terrible example.
Juan Fran's a good example of what happens.
Yeah, like players who, I haven't thought this out well enough. I'm thinking of players who had like one or two amazing seasons at the very top, and then just not a few, five or six amazing seasons. Which is a really, really good career because, I think what I'm saying is that's the exception rather than the rule. Like maybe five or six excellent seasons because players get injured and it's so demanding on your body and that. And so will play. And I think what we've seen under Diego Simeone is that players do tend to get tired and players do tend to kind of not just get tired physically, but they get tired of what they're being asked to do and they get tired of of maybe the monotony of playing in that style. Like, we look at Marcelo Bielsa and those players who, absolutely unbelievable, but you just get tired of playing under that, under certain managers.
It wears on
you,
yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, my whole point here is what I'm saying is it once you lose it, and once you kind of lose that, maybe that famous Spanish word, that ilusión, or whatever you want to call it, it's kind of hard to get it back, or it's hard to find your place elsewhere, is what I'm saying. And maybe this is Felipe Luis is good. He was amazing under Diego Simeone. He went, and everyone thought he was going to be amazing at Chelsea. He went to Chelsea and he was fine for a little bit, but he came back because he just couldn't find his place there. And yep. I think Saúl Ñíguez, and this is kind of comes back to my point about kind of data scouting for a player's best fit. If you go one bad move or one wrong move or one wrong transfer, and it's really hard to get it back. We've seen that with a good example is Sandro Ramirez, for example.
Mm.
He was absolute he was absolutely amazing with Malaga.
With Malaga, Atletico nearly bought him. If they hadn't been transfer banned, they would have bought him.
Exactly, he was moments or minutes away from signing with Atletico,
yep.
And he didn't, and he ended up, like, his career has been just downhill ever since. You look at players like that, and I had another one in my head just before I said Sandro, Vitolo was amazing at Sevilla. He yep. moves to Atletico and it just didn't work for him. He couldn't find his place, he couldn't fit in, and my point on that is that it's just so hard to kind of regain that confidence, regain that the coach's belief in you once you lose it. And maybe he just got tired of Simeone's tactics and needed a change and didn't make the right one at Chelsea perhaps, and might struggle now to get back to or maybe his best is what was before. We all assumed that his best was going to come when he was 28. Maybe we already saw his best.
It's certainly possible. You know, yeah. It's hard to reach the top level. It's even harder to sustain excellence, right? It's even harder to stay at that level. And Saul's best years came 2015, 2016, 2017, 18. He hasn't been the same player, quite the same player since. And there were a host of reasons that we've written and talked about over the years that Simeone preferred him out on a wing or out at left wing back or at left back, didn't view him as the strongest option in the center of the park, even though that's where Saul really wanted to play. It was a difficult situation, and I think both player and coach needed a change of scenery, a breath of fresh air, some time away from one another. And I think Atletico economically would probably view it with good eyes, Robbie, con buenos ojos. They would view it with good eyes to sell Saul this summer because they could make a profit on him. You know, if you can make 30, 40 million euros on him, particularly if you're not competing in the Champions League next year, Atletico will look to do that. But I think our commenter is right. I think there is a good chance to reintegrate Saul because Atletico do need an extra midfielder. And Atletico do need some of the attitude and the spirit that Saul brought, even if the form didn't necessarily correspond with it. That's also a tricky one, and I will be very interested to see what the plan is. Chelsea are not going to buy him. Chelsea can't really buy anybody right now as all their assets have been frozen. Yikes. And Saul's wages are also a potential stumbling block to a transfer. I think it's certainly possible that he's reintegrated next year, especially if Manu Sanchez comes back to back up Reinildo or back up Renan Lodi, because he's been very good at Osasuna.
Yeah, and this is actually another point about, and we're talking specifically about Saul, and I don't know if our listeners listen to Ben Taylor's Thinking Basketball, but he talks about portability in soccer, and I've been thinking a lot about that lately, like, and he defines portability as kind of scaling, we'll say. Yeah, it's basically scalability. And with a player like Saul, not so much portability, but sustainability, there are certain positions that it's so hard to do it for long. Like, you can be, and I know it's kind of obvious, to, like a goalkeeper, it's easier to sustain the physical levels for longer, or maybe a centre back because you're not doing as much running. But Saul was a hard running, no nonsense midfielder, who just got tired.
Basically.
And maybe, Yeah, maybe that's kind of sustainability is just difficult, and he'll might never get that back. So, and this is also what makes transfer, I'll call it trading, but trading players and transferring players is so hard, because you have to sell at the point where he's reached his peak, or if you're a selling club, and likewise you have to buy the right players to replace them when they're coming. Depending on your model,
right,
you have to buy the right players that are able to contribute what you need them to contribute at the right time, or else it just turns into a complete failure. And I think that's it's an interesting question and thing for, like, if you basically what I'm saying is, if you want to bring Saul back and to be the exact same Saul in the exact same system, then no, it doesn't work, because Saul's not the same. He's changed. He's gone to the Premier League, and okay, he might still have the same skill set and technical ability, but football has changed. You can't just replicate, and this is what Simeone has found so hard over the last couple of years. You can't just keep replicating the same thing. You have to change, and you have to, and some players just don't adapt well into the way that football is being played, and I'm not saying that about Saul, but I'm just saying that about, in terms of sustainability, can he keep up that intensity, that level, for this many years? And it turns, at the moment, the answer to that question is no.
And I think Saul is a pretty good test case for this, actually, Robbie, because Saul was one of the brightest lights, one of Atletico's top young players, when they were playing that older style that they cannot play anymore. We have seen this over the past couple years. Whenever Simeone has tried to revert to it, it ends poorly. Let's say it ends poorly. So the potential fit, beyond whether Atletico can do anything with him in terms of selling him or not, or loaning him out again or not, the actual fit, if they choose to reintegrate him, is going to be very interesting to see, because I'm not really sure what his best position is. Is it as a Kondogbia backup? Is it as an attacking player who, like, in the mold of DePaul, could he be competing for Koke and DePaul's minutes? I don't know. Not really sure what kind of player he is anymore. And that's part of the issue. That's part of why this is such an interesting debate.
Yeah, and then it comes back again to what I said at the start, is that whether or not Diego Simeone is going to be there. And I think if Diego Simeone does stay, there's going to have to be a concerted effort to evolve, and not evolve on the fly, but evolve in the summer, and
yeah,
work towards building a squad with that evolution in mind. Simeone has stumbled upon something, we think, as we discussed in the last podcast. Diego Simeone has stumbled on something, but we're 3/4 of the way through the season, and he's stumbled on it by iterating over and over again. This needed to be done in the summer. How are we going to play? And look, it mightn't have worked, and it might have need kind of tweaks, but large-scale changes in the middle of the season belie an underlying malfunctioning of the system, and we saw that this season.
Mm-hmm.
And if Atletico are to improve under Diego Simeone, or to continue with Diego Simeone, there needs to be a concerted effort from the board all the way down to Simeone, and a team effort to build a squad that he believes, and that they back him to implement, that he believes is going to win Atletico La Liga, which is going to get Atletico Madrid to a semi-final, and which is going to compete on all other fronts that they're involved in. So I think that a lot of my answers are kind of caveated with the like, what are Atletico trying to do here? I don't know that. I don't think they know that. And until we do know that, I think these transfer questions need to be tempered with that caveat at the start.
Well, a question about Atletico's future on the touchline, Robbie, from @Kutscuba. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Who would you rather have coach Atleti in the future, Gabby or Thiago?
I haven't really seen much of either. I know Thiago was involved with Atletico before, and Gabby is back now, but in terms of the way that they played, I guess Thiago was the more cerebral player. He was more of a thinker on the field, and Gabby was kind of more, he knew where to be, and he knew how to work his way into games, and he knew how to kind of interpret the game pretty well. But I think Thiago, in terms of his experiences, he played at Chelsea for a long time and got to experience a couple of different managers there, and got to play under Simeone, and has now continued his coaching career at Atletico. I don't actually know where he is now. Where is Thiago now?
I think he might be working with one of the Portugal youth teams, but he had a job with Vitória Guimarães a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. It did not last long. It was not successful.
Okay. Yeah, well, these are the kind of things that happen, and I don't think it necessarily means that that he's not going to be a good manager, but because those roles at youth teams and at lower leagues tend to be actually sometimes harder, because you're trying to implement a structure and a style with a lot of variability. Like at an elite level, you can at least be guaranteed of a certain level of performance from the players, where at youth levels, players are just, they're still developing, and they could go out one day and be absolutely amazing, and the next day be just completely do a PSG on it. Like, yeah. So it actually might be harder to implement your ideas at those levels. But yeah, that's I'd probably pick Thiago, but that's just based on their playing styles and their experiences. But I don't actually know what their philosophies are or would be.
Yeah, Gabby is still getting his coaching licenses and taking all the requisite and required courses, so he doesn't officially have a position yet like someone like Fernando Torres does. It's a good question, because as you've said, there's a lot of information that we would need that we don't really have, because it's not there, it's not available. Thiago coached 3 games in Portugal before resigning, and Gabby has not taken a top-flight job or hasn't led one of Atletico's youth teams yet, and Torres is the top assistant with the under-19s. So I would probably say Torres, even though that wasn't part of the question. I'm picking a third option. I'm picking the wild card, Torres, because he's actually in the setup right now, and I think what Atletico might be planning, and I don't have any insider info on this. This is not a Chiringuito exclusiva, but what I think Atletico might be considering is Torres eventually stepping in as the long-term Cholo replacement. He's already on the fast track, whereas Gabby is still getting his licenses, and Thiago, last I heard, was in Portugal and not directly affiliated with the club.
Yeah, I think based on the information you just said there, and this is just like my bias, or the way that I'm looking at it, is just these kind of archetypes of I struggle to think of too many attackers who turned into excellent coaches.
Yeah, a lot it's of the most successful coaches were defenders, yeah, or central midfielders.
They were number fours, Pep Guardiola's, players like this, and Klopp even was a midfielder, and Simeone, of course, and
Conte was a defender.
You know, yeah, and the attackers, strikers, are a little bit more egotistical, which can be good, but as a manager you need to have that kind of discipline, and I think that's probably why you see so many attackers, and then defenders probably don't have the imagination, so that midfield is that number four position is perfect for having to read the game and things like that. So that's why I'm picking Thiago. But that's, I also, fair. just two things on that. Torres, yeah, obviously an excellent option. Might be a little bit too close to Atletico. Might be a little bit too ideal, in that people would be putting too many expectations on him. Secondly, I must say I like a little bit of anger and a little bit of kind of personality. So Thiago stepping down after 3 games, there's something about that. There's a principled man in there, and I like that. I know it might seem a little bit crazy, but give me crazy any day of the week, Jeremy.
Absolutely. From Danny Atletico, who do we prefer? He wants to know who we prefer as a Luis Suarez replacement. A young forward with high potential, or a 30 and over, proven and experienced, player. Now, there have been some rumors in recent days that I think we can try to integrate into the debate over this question, Robbie. Lautaro Martinez has been linked with Atletico yet again, as has Paulo Dybala, available on a free transfer this summer. He's not exactly a number nine, but he's been linked with Atletico for years. Gabriel Jesus as well was mentioned in the Barcelona papers this morning if Manchester City do decide to sell him this summer. So those are three potential options. But generally speaking, Robbie, which kind of player profile would you prefer should Suarez depart this summer?
Yeah, I think that the my own bias again coming into this as expected. It's an opinion I'm given, but I do like the idea of Gabriel Jesus in that he's kind of dynamic and he a little bit like Angel Correa in that he's dynamic and agile and can create space for himself in the box, use his speed to kind of break open defenses. So that's purely from a more maybe visual, more enjoyable to watch perspective. But in terms of like playing the likes of Getafe on a Monday night in the Coliseum, you want that kind of wily striker to just get your goals and score your goals. So I think ideally, and this is a bit of a cop out, you'd have both and you'd be able to alternate them between the two, but it's all kind of predicated on how Atletico are going to play. But I mean, in La Liga, given La Liga as it currently is, a 30 something would get by, and score you probably 12-15 goals. But I think the problem with signing an older player and it not working out, there's no redeeming qualities to the transfer. Right. Whereas if you sign a young guy, who's fast and energetic and dynamic and mobile, and there's room for growth, and he might be able to facilitate in another way. So I'd probably pick someone like a Gabriel Jesus or someone like that. I think we've seen this year with Mateus Cunha, even when he's not scoring goals, he has he has a lot defensively. Like, you look at, I just did an article the other day actually on Enes Unal, and he offers so much defensively, or as a kind of a defensive striker, which is always a kind of a term that depressed me, because being a defensive striker is kind of like
it's like oxymoronic.
But it's kind of more like, okay, we're going to play you up front, but you're useless, so you're actually a defender. So it's, yes, kind of sad. I think it's a sad term, really. But when you think of defensive strikers, you're like, well, that's one sad existence. But anyway, Enes Unal offering all that defensive output, but also now starting to bang in the goals, he's the kind of guy who you'd love to have on your team, who you can get behind, and would probably suit an Atletico Madrid, the fan base and the kind of the qualities of the club, would say.
I don't think it's a coincidence that all three of those guys are South American. Lautaro and Dybala are both Argentinian, Gabriel Jesus Brazilian. And the deal with Suarez was something that really happens once a decade, right? That's a situation that you cannot bank on repeating. That was a transfer and a market opportunity that you only get when the selling club is in crisis, which Barcelona were. And it essentially gifted Atletico a title and a legendary forward for nothing. So you can't really bank on a situation like that happening again. So ideally, you want to look for someone you can build around, someone who can be a foundational piece, a younger forward who doesn't have quite so many miles on their odometer, to repeat the phrase I used with the Griezmann analysis. Go ahead.
No, sorry, I was just going to say, and also, those kind of storybook narratives don't tend to end well. It's kind of like what I'm thinking, like with it's kind of like what I was trying to express in a recent podcast. We talked about Diego Simeone. It was always going to end this way, because Luis Suarez came to Atletico. Unbelievable. Helping Atletico win La Liga, it was just so perfect. In Hollywood, what would have happened, he would have left, sailed off into the sunset, and we would have been just looking, going, wow, incredible, what a storyline, someone write a book or make a movie out of that. But that's not how it works, because Luis Suarez still thinks, I'm going to keep going. It's like Marcelo Bielsa. He should have left in the summer at Leeds, for It was perfect. The story was just perfect. But that's not how these guys think. They always think that they can do more, especially when they've just been successful. And I think that that's why these stories are inevitable. The crappy endings are inevitable. Luis Suarez was never going to go to MLS after he scored double-digit goals in La Liga and helped Atletico to win, because it's seen as...
Why would he?
Like, yeah, why would he? And it's also seen as... There would have been criticism of him for doing that. He still had more. He just, he's going to go and retire in MLS and stuff like this. People would have been left, he didn't want it enough and stuff like that. So they're thinking, no, I'm going to drain every... Like, I remember Chicharito crying when he left Sevilla, because he was like, and he sent a message to his dad or something like that, or it was a voice message that was leaked or something. Or maybe... Yeah, he said to his dad, "Our European dream is over, Dad." These guys dream of playing in Europe, and they drain every single last drop out of it. Because, like I said about Saul, we don't know. Like, you can't just decide, "I'm going to take 6 months or a year off," or "Oh, I'm going to go here and rebuild my career," because you don't get to decide, and you have to just take when the good times are rolling. You just have to keep rolling with them until they
stop rolling.
Exactly, you know? And they tend to stop rolling quicker than you probably like, and so yeah, that's my point on the Suarez thing and the signing an older player in that it's probably, yeah, if you sign a young guy, there's kind of more the chance that you can do something with him after. But with Suarez or an older guy, it could get a little bit more messy.
And that's why my top choice would be a younger forward, probably someone like Lautaro, who was having, put aside his golazo against Liverpool the other day, a tremendous goal, just really out of nothing, nearly got them back into that tie. Lautaro is now working on 3 straight seasons with at least 14 goals in Serie A, scored 17 last year as they won the league. His defensive contribution and ability in the air, with his work rate and his finishing ability are all qualities that Simeone wants in his forwards. It's why Atletico fought so hard to try to sign Lautaro 5 years ago, but couldn't get a deal over the line with Racing. Simeone will know him because he played it. Both players played at Racing. That's where they cut their teeth. So he makes sense from a Simeone POV, from Atletico's point of view. And you know, we'll see what happens with Inter this summer. We'll see if they're forced into selling again, where they end up in the title race in Serie A. They're already out of Europe now. Inter is trying to reestablish itself as a destination in a league that has been monopolized by Juve for years. Dybala is a really interesting case too, because he's not a 9. He's not the traditional center forward type, but he's a player who's also been high on Berta and Simeone's wish list for years, and he's got seasons in his pocket in his career where he has, you know, he's got a 19 goal season, a 22 goal season in Serie A. He can score goals, and I think available on a free, that's a market opportunity Atletico will certainly like to explore. Gabriel Jesus as well, not really sure what his position is, because I think Guardiola has been trying to convert him into a winger. He's only got a couple of goals this year, and he's never really been a 20-25 goal scorer. That he's never been really that type of killer 9 that Atletico will probably look for.
Yeah, and like, the problem with Atletico is, depending on how they're going to play, is
right.
If it, like a player who scores 25 goals in with a team, you could probably kind of cut 30% of that off Atletico, which isn't bad. 30% of 25 is like, I don't know, 8-16. Something like that.
We're doing maths on the podcast.
Yeah. I picked the worst numbers, like 25% of 25. Like, that's just so complicated. Anyway, so a player maybe like Andre Silva is someone who I might like, or a Rafael Santos Borre, who not like out and out goal scorers, which might be a problem for Atletico, but they kind of contribute more with assists, and given the fact that Atletico's attack is more of a collective effort rather than just one out and out goal merchant, maybe that might help and kind of overall play. But again, this is all if Simeone stays, and whether they're gonna what tactics they play and how they what they decide to do in the summer. But maybe someone like and also I think we've seen with Cunha too that in the brief kind of spells, but we were both quite complimentary of him when he did when we did see him play. I think that the transition from the Bundesliga to La Liga is good, and that's the way football is going now. Everything is being played in transition, and the more players you can get coming from the Bundesliga, I think the better. Because they're used to that that style and that playing in quick transitions, pressing high up the field, and I think that's something that I'd be looking at too. And there, Andre Silva is someone who kind of frustrates, but also he's got something, and I think the fact that Leipzig were looking at him and signed him, and the Andre Silva and Santos Borre, who Atletico liked and looked and had for a while before he went back to Argentina, I think they're the kind of players who I would be kind of taking a look at. Not those specific players, I don't know how much they cost, what their contracts look like, but they're the kind of players who I think would be more suited to Atletico than like an out and out number nine or someone like that.
We've got time for one more question from Chuck at CCape8. Who would be the best center back targets for Atletico to sign in the summer transfer window? And I think the answer to this question will be dependent on whether Simeone stays or not, whether the club chooses to sign defenders in that mold or more ball-playing type center backs like Mario Hermoso. But what do you think? Who should Atletico be targeting to reinforce a central defense that needs it in the summer?
Yeah, I'd probably go with Atletico were actually linked with him in the summer. Jorge Cuenca is 22. He'll be 22 in the summer too. His birthday is in November. He's a player playing with Getafe at the moment, and Atletico were linked with him. I believe Atletico were linked with him. He's been linked with a lot of the big clubs. I'd probably go with a player like that, who can kind of do both. And another player who every time I watch him, and I know that this is kind of hard to, and I'm saying this based off nothing, other than the fact that I like the look of him and I like the style of player that he is, but Kaglar Sayunku, the Leicester City centre back with the long hair, I love that style of a player, and Leicester are another team who sign really, really good players. Like Wesley Fofana is going to be an absolute star, and Soyuncu is a player who Atletico were linked with before he signed with Leicester. He's 25, and he just has this he's got this leadership. He's also really, really physical, and he loves playing football. And I think that he's the kind of player he's the kind of defender that's hard to find, in that he's willing to do it all and takes risks, which is fair enough. But I think he's the kind of player Atletico should find. And maybe that's another series we should do. Try and find a couple of players who we like, and find clusters of those players, and then like for example. I'll do this really quickly here. That was transfer markets. So center backs on Football Reference who are similar to Kaglar Soyuncu. The first name on the list is Stefan Savic, and then you've got who else? Anyone we know there? Joseph Aidu, Aritz Elostondo from Real Sociedad, yep. Adam Webster. Maripan, remember Maripan?
Yeah, he's in Monaco now, I think.
Yeah, yeah, he was linked with. I remember was he's he, who did he played for Alaves?
I think several big teams wanted him. Yeah.
Yeah, Barcelona wanted him before he moved from Alaves to Monaco. I think that Barcelona wanted him, so that's an interesting one. But yeah, players like Soyuncu and. It would be who I'd be thinking of in terms of. He's a nice kind of template or prototype for what the kind of player who I like enjoy watching and think would be well suited to Atletico.
And the top comparison is Savage. That's not a bad comp, not at all. You mentioned Elostondo, and he's a guy I would be interested in signing. Robin Lenormand as well, who I think is really, really good, but also very expensive. I think his release clause is 75 million. And La Real have a tendency to keep those guys around long term. So those guys are probably out, but they would be on my shopping list. David Garcia from Osasuna is a really, really good center back. Very rugged, tough, scores goals, really, really good in the air. Kind of an archetypal old school Chilismo center back. Not sure how good he is with the ball at his feet, but he is definitely good in all other aspects in terms of positioning, cutting out passes, heading the ball toward goal or away from it. I think he's one of Osasuna's top scorers this year. He's got a few, I think three or four goals to his name. Attila Salai as well, who's playing at Fenerbahce. I haven't watched much Fenerbahce this year, but I watched him at the Euros last year with Hungary, and he's like 6'4", 200 pounds, and he was just amazing over the Euros with Hungary. He was just clearing everything out of the way. He was all over the place. And 24 years old, left-footed, and you wrote this last year about Hermoso, left-footed center backs are a real commodity now, especially if they can move the ball well at their feet. So those are a few names that stuck out to me right away in terms of players who Atletico could recruit. Ideally, you want someone who can play with ball at his feet, because modern center backs, a lot like defensemen in ice hockey, you need to be able to move the puck, you need to be able to move the ball, you need to be able to progress it forward and contribute to all phases of the buildup. So ideally you want someone who checks all those boxes, but those guys are, like Virgil van Dijk, are very tough to find and they're very expensive. So you need to do it in stages. So Salai, Elustondo, David Garcia, guys like that would be toward the top of my list.
Look at us here. I've referenced NBA basketball. You've referenced hockey. We're Polideportivo podcast here.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Polideportivo Colchonero or Poly. Yeah. Sorry, I can't think of anything witty enough to fit in without. I might be able to think of something. I'd end up embarrassing myself before I kind of hit on something that worked. So I'll save that for my own brain here.
Workshop it a little bit. Go back to the lab.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I think that pretty much covers the mailbag. We want to thank everyone once again for the rousing reception when we asked for questions. Those were some good ones, Robbie. We want to thank you all again, and we should try to do this again soon. If not before the end of the season, then certainly we'll do one over the summer.
Definitely, yeah.
And that'll do it for us on this edition of the show. We will be back this weekend to talk about Atletico's next game home to Cádiz on Friday night. A very, very injured Atletico Madrid taking on 18th place Cádiz. Robbie, thank you so much for joining me on this special edition of the show.
No problem at all, Jeremy. And we'll catch up on Friday or Saturday for the Cádiz game.
We'll speak to you all then. Adios.